We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
They want to tear down symbols of faith and drive Christians and religious believers from the public square. They want to silence your voices on social media, and they want the government to censor, muzzle, and shut down conservative voices. You know that.
President Trump speaking last night from Dallas. Holy cow, did you see the crowd that was there last night in Dallas?
Nuts.
And apparently more outside.
Like, you know, crowd sizes, crowd numbers, I get it. They're inflated from time to time. Mm-hmm. But your eyes don't lie. And one of the reasons why I always tune in to these if I'm in front of the television when it's happening is so that I can see with my own eyes how many people are really there. They do the pans of the crowds. And also, like, I've also been like, oh my gosh, this line is never ending. And then I realize it's on like a 12-second loop and I've been watching it for 5 minutes. And I basically think Texas is like the summit for Republicans. But it was massive.
Oh, huge.
Absolutely massive. So regardless of how brilliant you think Trump is, how absolutely dumb or dangerous you think Trump is, if you're looking at what showed up last night in Dallas to support this president and what this president is doing 3 years in, I'm sorry, 2020 is looking pretty red.
There is not one Democratic candidate that could do what Trump did last night.
And don't discount crowd size. It's an indicator of turnout.
Yes, mm-hmm. And scientifically,
it's an indicator of turnout. Let's say that that's true. But it is. I mean, that's one of the things that they underestimated him on in 2016. Mm-hmm. Is they said, well, he's drawing big crowds, but will that show up at the polls? And it did. It did translate.
It's kind of interesting because I was reading through. You remember Monique? We tried to have her on the show.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Well, not the Monique you're thinking of. I think.
Oh.
Not the Monique.
No, not the Monique.
This is a Monique.
Yes.
Okay.
I think she's in Texas. Yeah, she's in Texas. Mm-hmm. And she came out and she was talking support for Trump. And she was like not ashamed about it all. I loved it. I played some of her sound that she put up on her Twitter account or something. And she just spoke out in support of the president. And then she became sort of social media famous. And I'm telling you what, if you're not somebody who is invested heavily in social media, you don't know that this is happening, but there is a very, very different kind of Republican developing on social media right now. Mm-hmm. And it is to Trump's credit. So Monique is, I don't know, I think she's, I'm guessing, in her mid to late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
She has said openly that she's been in prison before. And she says very openly that the Democrats don't do anything for her. She's black. And that the idea that black people have to vote for Democrats is ridiculous. And then she just goes straight at the haters. So she went to this event last night and she got a VIP seat or something. And when she was there, apparently the Secret Service came in and said, we need to put the families of the Secret Service in this area and move them back. So she was pretty upset about that. Well, she has a huge social media following, so I started to go read through the comments. Person after person after person after person. that really sucks that you had to move, but we tried again and we couldn't, and we stayed outside, but it was still amazing to be there.
Wow.
I went to a rally in Cleveland and we stood outside, and I would go travel to any rally that I could be in to be there. We were inside at Dallas and we sat in the rafters, but we could still see the president, and I was so happy to be there. Comment after comment after comment of people all over the country who have somehow or another found Monique and said, I understand that sucks, and I'm really sad that you had to go through that. But it is really cool that you got to be present. And basically not saying that, like, her situation, like, she should, I mean, there's some people who are like, stop whining about it or whatever, because that's the internet for you. But people are putting themselves very much so out of their comfort zone, standing in line for hours and hours and hours and hours to witness. You know, when you think about, you're standing in line. Somebody said that they were standing in line, and then all of a sudden they let one line proceed into the thing before theirs, and their line had been there first or whatever, and it was, they said that it was disorganized. They were just happy that they still got to be there because they believe they're witnessing something. They want to be able to tell people, I was there when. Name a Democratic candidate right now that has even a glimmer of that type of mojo going behind them. There isn't one.
At one point, I would have said Bernie did, but not now.
Maybe in 2016.
Yeah,
at when he was new and fresh. Yeah.
And to think, you know, like Bernie Sanders, in my opinion, has no chance of becoming the president of the United States. But he is, I would say, in my lifetime, I'm almost even saying more so than Barack Obama, has changed the Democratic Party immensely. And it's because he's way less concerned about playing the politics and way more interested in the policy. His policies would ruin the country. His policies are socialism. It would be the end of America as we know it. But he's all policy. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, you know, bend and break his position on policy to be at the whim of the DNC, which Hillary was a contortionist in that capacity. Hillary pretty much owns
Hillary would
the
stand
DNC
for anything.
That got her elected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which is why people didn't like her.
Yeah. It's gross. It's swampy. It's, which is why we did that little exercise, what was it, last week or whenever? Because I think that the one thing that unifies the most amount of Americans, the most amount of everyday tax-paying citizen Americans, is detesting the concept and the idea of a swamp. I think we're sick and tired of feeling like there are two sets of rules, like there are two sets of truth, and that there are two sets of, like, basically, you know, human rights that exist in our country, because you have an understanding from the media that takes a story and takes a set of facts and mixes it up into a nice little bakes a cake for you so that you can taste it the way you want to taste it. They don't trust you to take the truth, however it is shaped, and process it yourself. They need to make it right for your palate. And they need to make sure that they lead you along this path in order to make sure that you come up with the correct conclusion. And America's not that dumb. I think America for a long time has thought, you know, it's not that bad. It isn't as far gone as some people would like to think that it is. But I'm pretty sure now that we know, and people are willing to subscribe to their personal favorite news channel and watch the news that comes in the flavor that they like it. You know, I would challenge you, if you only ever watch Hannity at night, and that's your news, you're not watching news. You're watching an opinion, and that's fine. Just understand that what you're getting is something that comes down the road after the facts have been released. Same thing with Rachel Maddow. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Lawrence O'Donnell. And same thing with the people who are on in the evening in CNN, but they don't present it that way.
I know it was just 3 years ago, but until you just said that, I forgot that Trump was the first candidate to come out, at least in my lifetime, and say, because everybody always says, hey, America is the best. It's the nation we love. And they're not wrong. But he came out and he said, hey, everybody, things suck. Vote for me if you want them to be better. Mm. Nobody was saying that. And it was just so honest.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's been.
And when he spoke with honesty, it was so I mean, like, straight to you. Exactly from him to you, with no filters, sometimes unfortunately, with no filters, with no, you know, fluff. Here it is. This is how I see it. And America goes, thanks. I don't like, I mean, how many people do I talk to about this president who go, I don't really like the way he does everything, but I respect him and I appreciate that he gives me the real stuff, the real deal. So we'll talk a little bit more about the rally last night. We're also going to discuss a lot today with Gabe Pfeiffer, who's coming in at 1 o'clock. And we had Rodney Davis on yesterday, right after the Turkey-Syria ceasefire announcement. There's been some development with that as well today. So we're going to discuss that coming up. But let's do some headlines right now.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have a new contender nipping at their heels. Pete Buttigieg. Ooh. But it's mainly due to campaign donations, many of them coming from the celebrity left. Alyssa Milano, Michael J. Fox, Jennifer Garner, David Hyde Pierce all have donated significant amounts to the Buttigieg campaign. Also donating have been Emily Rossum, Anthony Rapp, and George Takei. Altogether, including non-celebrities, Mayor Pete's campaign has raised over $19 million just in the third quarter of this year. Bernie and Warren are slightly ahead, though, roughly at $25 million among Democrats.
Hmm. Road work that will affect... All right, it's just me in the room.
No!
MoDOT has identified a problem with westbound 64 just past the Science Center. It affects the left lane and left shoulder. It's a big deal out there. A stormwater runoff drain.
Oh, no, wait. Going west... I got to do that after work. Going to Slim 180 in Creve Coeur.
Oh, so it's going to affect you.
Hey, it'll actually affect you.
It's not exciting.
No, it is.
It always affects me. Yeah.
I'm the only one who lives west of here.
Is this now?
Yeah, it's going on now. Mm. Hmm.
So what do I need to know? I interrupted you.
So there's a stormwater runoff drain that has been leaking and washing away the soil beneath the highway.
Hey, stormwater runoff drain!
Hey!
The key part of that is it's washing away the soil beneath the highway.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
What happens when you don't have soil beneath the highway?
We don't know.
Drive fast to make sure you get across in time?
Sure, if you're Bo and Luke Duke. So yes, the highway is collapsing in that area. MoDOT is actually setting up barriers right now in that stretch westbound on 64 between Kings Highway. Yes, it is.
Oh, meaning like gosh. You could drive over it now or there's holes?
Well, there's not holes yet, but you could drive over it now, but it is going to collapse. Oof. So they're actually going to put these barriers in place that'll block that left lane for the next 2 weeks at least as they work to tear out the portion affected, refill the missing soil, and replace the left driving lane of the shoulder. It's been about a decade since the shutdown.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. So it's east or west
westbound.
Of the
westbound.
No. East or west of the Science Center.
Right at the Science Center. Just a little west of the Science Center.
So if I get on the highway after the Science Center.
Yeah, you'll be okay. But it's from here, getting on the highway after the Science Center is a pain in the
whatchamahoozit.
Right. So, it's left lane.
Frank, you have my sympathy.
Westbound 64, the left lane will be closed at least for the next 2 weeks right there at Kings Highway out to about the Science Center. Yes. And I think there... It was a little confusing in the story that I read as to how the entrance ramp from Van Deventer will be affected. That may be closed as well, so folks getting on there. So they're, it's going to be a little bit of a difficult stretch there for the next 2 weeks at least, at a minimum.
And today, you have my empathy.
I'm glad I used 55. An emotional Michael Jordan unveiled the first two medical clinics he and his family funded to provide care to underprivileged members of the community. The six-time NBA champion and Hornets owner was on hand Thursday for the grand opening of the $7 million Novant Health Michael Jordan Family Medical Clinic. The clinic, located in lower income section in North Carolina, will provide vital access to primary and preventative care to individuals in the community.
Annie's throwing things at me.
Including the ones that are uninsured. No, Annie. Or underinsured.
I never scored basketball unless I used the backboard. I didn't
wish the video was on.
Yeah, oh, man, me too.
And he's throwing things at me.
I did hit the inside of the rim on the trash can before it leapt out at you.
And it spun out?
Yeah.
Spun out. Jordan vowed to
go ahead, Katie.
Saying, this is just the start of a battle of being able to touch as many people's lives as possible.
You know somebody who could score?
That
Michael
guy.
Jordan. That guy right there.
I thought you were talking about Katie.
Michael Jordan. This woman.
That guy,
over here. I can play any sport.
That guy running the board.
Anything.
With the high voice.
That guy that she just talked about. Michael Jordan.
There's no appropriate
way to go with it. So do y'all remember what happened 1 week ago tonight?
Yes.
Yep. But you can remind us.
Yeah, go ahead and tell us, though.
The Cards played game one of the NLCS.
Oh, yeah, that is correct. I was
It's hard to believe it was 1 week ago tonight. And
I blacked it out, but here we are.
Moved on and said. Meanwhile, the Blues had the most dangerous lead in hockey, Tony. Oh, Ryan?
I am Ryan.
Yes. What's the most dangerous lead in hockey?
Tony.
2 goals?
Yes, it is. They had that 2-goal lead last night. They were up 3-1 against Vancouver in the second period. That 2-goal lead evaporated, and the Blues lost in the shootout after a scoreless overtime, 4-3. It's their third straight loss, with one loss in regulation, one in overtime, and one in the shootout. They host the floundering Canadiens on Saturday afternoon.
Would you rather be up by two or down by any?
Clearly, you'd rather be down by something than up by two, because it just works out this way, and it's a mentality thing, and I don't get it, but teams always take their foot off the gas when they're up by 2 goals. They don't keep pushing for that third goal.
Did you ever hear, I think it was...
It's weird. It's a weird psychological thing.
A-Rod was talking in a baseball game to him in color one time, and he said something like...
About a 2-goal lead in hockey?
No, but he said, he's like, you never want to have an even lead in baseball. It's the worst place you can be. And I'm like...
What's an even lead?
I don't know, like winning by 2, 4, 6, 8.
Oh, an even lead. Okay.
And like, he gave some explanation, but I'm like, but you're winning. There are worse alternatives.
Be happy.
I think baseball's different than hockey.
A little.
In some ways, yes.
You know, there's ice.
They throw sticks around, though, a lot.
Yeah, there are sticks.
Well, there are sticks.
I guess they're not
sticks
throwing
them. Sticks in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And pucks are round.
There's just some slight differences.
They're cylindric.
Guys.
I mean, you changed my mind. You're right. They're exactly the same.
Yeah. We're going to be right back with something else. Yeah, Tony. Tony's going to be thrilled when he comes in and finds out you called Ryan Tony.
Oh, he's
going to love
that.
It almost feels as though Frank might have done that on purpose. Just saying. All right, when we come back, 314-241-9797. Did you watch the rally last night? Did you love the rally last night? Is there anything about it you didn't like? Give me a call. Let me know. 314-241-9797. The webcam is down, but we're working on it as fast as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, we are. But the webcam is down. We do know that. But you can tweet at Annie Fry Show only if you follow me first, and then you can complain. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I just spoke to President Erdogan of Turkey. We're doing very, very well with Turkey. There's a ceasefire or a pause or whatever you want to call it. There was some sniper fire this morning. There was mortar fire this morning that was eliminated quickly. And they're back to the full pause.
That's the president from the White House today reacting to, I saw reports that were kind of flowing in saying, well, there's a ceasefire yesterday and there's fire today. So I don't know how ceased that fire was, in fact. So the president reacting to that. We're going to have Rodney Davis on here in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that. He joined us yesterday and reacted to several things, the passing of Elijah Cummings, the ceasefire announcement from the vice president in Turkey, and the impeachment process. So it was a really interesting conversation. We're going to have that for you in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that. I'm interested to hear what y'all think. I know, Ryan, you were watching the rally last night. Katie, did you get to view it?
I did.
How much did you watch?
I'd say I only watched about 30 minutes, about around that time, 30 minutes.
That is a lot of time. You know, like a sitcom doesn't have 30 minutes of content.
But he was entertaining. That I was just telling Ryan right before this.
Yeah.
Obama, I think, could hold an audience and he could captivate an audience for an hour-ish. Trump can keep you wanting more from the minute you start it to the minute it ends.
You watch it with a little bit, your eyebrows are a little raised and your mouth's hanging open just a little bit because you do not know what's going to happen.
You're a little scared.
And you don't want to turn it off and miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I love, did you see when he did the, look, I can be a politician, I can be more presidential.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, look, and he steps back, buttons his button.
Puts his shoulders down.
Back, yeah, walks back to the podium and says, all you have to do is speak like this, real boring, and then they call you presidential.
He goes, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's so silly. I would love to hear what you think about it. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You can call toll free at 866-455-9797. Brian, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, how you doing?
I'm fine, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what. That rally was in Dallas, Texas, where he lost by 10 points. Now, if that's not proof positive that we're in for another huge landslide and all these stinking polls are just BS, I don't know what can convince anybody.
Well, I mean, would say you look at the people who are opposed to Trump in 2016, they're still not convinced he won that one.
Oh, my God, he had 20,000 people in there, or plus 20,000, because you had the floor filled, too. And then you had people watching on monitors outside. Who in the heck? I mean, you, Elton John don't get that kind of concert. The Eagles don't draw that many people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best ticket in town, and all I got to say is, Democrats are in denial. Mm. Your party is gone. I mean, my guy, and I'm ashamed of the Democrat Party. And, you know, my family, we're all Democrats. My brother, my dad.
Are you a Democrat?
And no, I'm not. I'm the black sheep of the family.
Have you always been the black sheep? Were you ever a Democrat?
No, I never was. I saw the good side.
So
the good deeds.
How do your family members feel about the Democratic Party right now if they're all still Democrats?
Well, you know, I don't know. I haven't talked to my brother in 5 years.
Oh, that's too bad.
And he was
politics.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Have a great Friday. I don't know that he's wrong. I mean, it's the best poll there is.
You hit on this a little bit when you're talking about Monique a few minutes ago, but did you see all the people behind Trump at the rally? And I know they strategically place people for the cameras,
oh,
but
sure.
There was a lot of signs that said Latinos for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, and you talked about this on social media, those people are not being polled at all. There is a faction of people who have been part of traditional Democratic voting blocks that are not showing up in polls because they are not going to say anything to a pollster. They're just going to vote. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's going to be a larger... Now, it's not going to be like the African-American vote goes full for Trump. But even if you're talking about a 5% change...
Candace Owens was saying, like, I think it's like, what is it, 5% may vote for Trump or vote for Republican previously. Mm. She's like, if you shift this even 2 to 3%...
It's huge.
It's an accomplishment.
The Democratic Party is in trouble for a very, very long time.
And you are not going to answer a pollster and say, yeah, you know, if you're on the fence and you're like, man, I kind of like the way this is going... I think I might vote for Trump just based on the economy alone.
You could be an old white guy who says that who loves the president and be peeved at the way we do polling in our country. Or maybe you're working in the union or something like that.
Right.
And you don't want to have any type of paper trail in this day and age that connects you to a political position.
Right. Right. And those people are definitely not in the polls right now.
Yeah. I don't trust polls, but I don't know. Like I was saying earlier, I do not know how you can look at what was taking place last night and the people, they don't sit down the entire time he's standing. I was at the Granite City rally when he came here, I don't know, a year ago. I was there.
Were you inside the mill?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you get in?
Snuck in.
Oh, yeah? That's sure, that was easy to do.
Yeah, you know.
It's just a presidential rally.
Winked at some people and slipped. Anyway. No, I got invited. So it invited by my congressman. They have the ability to extend invitations. I had to go through a security process, and they got to go in. So
were you up there, like, close to the stage?
No. I was in the media section, which is in the back, where he, you know, lifts two fingers up, and he spreads them apart and brings them back together, and he says, yeah, you people back there.
All you people in the media.
That was me. It's kind of fun. I was standing back there with all sorts of different... people who, like, I know I spoke with Leland Vittert for a little bit, who has actually spent some time in St. Louis. I think he went to John Burroughs High School. But he's, you know, like the go-to weekend anchor or fill-in if they need somebody to pick up some slack there. So I talked to him a bit. and saw lots of the White House press pool comes in. Like when the president gets there, the press pool comes in because they all travel together. So lots of cameras all set up on risers and people from different networks positioned there. But then right before the president's going to come in, the press pool floods in. You see all these faces of people who you've seen reporting on things on all the channels, and they all flood in. The president starts talking and says some things, and then there's a point where they kind of pack it up and get back out, because I guess they get boarded back up so that when the president gets done, they can leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, when are these people going to sit down? I would like to sit down. Nobody yep. sat down for the entire time he was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And people were engaged, and it was in the middle of a big, dirty steel mill. And I was walking around at Granite City Steel before the president got there, and there were lots of steel workers who were there. They were dressed in their, like they could just get done with the rally and go to work, had their hard hats on. And I was talking to so many of them, and I'm like, so you support the president? And they just get this big smile on their face. Yes, ma'am, I do. And I go, would you be willing to talk about it with me on camera? No, ma'am.
Nope.
No. like a big hell no. And I realized, I mean, I talked to about a dozen of them, and then I just stopped because I thought, I'm going to get one person who's going to do this, and then the president's going to show up, and I'm going to have to stop. But these people don't want to be public, but they love him. They don't just support him. They love him.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing.
I want you to know something, Annie Fry.
Okay.
I went down to that rally, too.
Oh, yeah?
I had either just started here or I was part-time. I don't know which.
How'd that go?
I went down there, and I couldn't get in the building, even though I come from four generations of Granite City steel workers.
I come from no generations.
More?
No.
You come from no generations.
No generations. I don't know. I was very interested in being in the steel mill.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was... You know, like
a different type of environment.
It doesn't occur to me, and this I'm saying this as a compliment. It doesn't occur to me that the things that are made out of steel come from somewhere that has to make the steel, you know, first. And Granite City Steel is such a huge operation. And how many years during the Obama administration was it just sitting there? You know,
yeah,
that
it,
it's ridiculous. And to think that, you know, every time they'd fire up another furnace, it's like, hooray. You know why they like this president? Because they have work because of him. So that was my experience of actually being at one of these rallies. But people are excited to be there. They're willing to wait. They're packed shoulder to shoulder. And, you know, they'll go stand in their nice clothes in a dirty steel mill and just be very grateful to say I was there. You know, like from
I was a part of it.
The vantage point that I had, I could see like the top half of his head. I couldn't because everybody was standing. So, you know, that was my experience, but it was still amazing. It was amazing to be there.
Because you're looking at the top half of his head, which is his famous hair.
Eddie, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I'd like to know how you guys can call yourself Americans and prop up this idiot like he's some type of angel. He sold out the country to Russia. He's doing all this crazy stuff. And you all talk about him like he's some kind of guy. He's the same type of attitude that white people had when they put blacks in slavery in the name of the Bible. It's just ridiculous.
Eddie.
This is a big echo chamber. Yeah.
Eddie, there's a lot in that statement that from what I gather, you've called me an idiot. You've said I'm not American. You've indicated that it has something to do with the color of my skin. What do you think it means to be an American?
I'm just talking to you like Trump talks to everybody.
Eddie, I don't talk to Eddie. Listen to me. Listen to me for just one second. This is my show, and I welcomed you on it, and I'm showing you respect, and I've given you more time than half my listeners already want me to give you. But I've never talked to you like that, Eddie. Why would you call in and talk to me like that? If it's not okay for Trump to talk to people like that, why is it okay for you to call in my show when I have given you the time and the opportunity to come on here and have a conversation and disagree with me? I knew you were going to disagree with me when I put you on, and I was okay with that. Why would you call in and disrespect me?
All due respect, I'm sorry if I insulted you, but I'm just...
You didn't insult just me. You insult every listener of this show.
I don't mean to insult people, but I would like to say I'm following the example of your wonderful president who calls a spade a spade.
All right, Eddie. Well, I'm going to call a spade right now and say you are what you hate. When you speak like that to people, you are what you hate. If you don't like the way Trump treats people, don't go treat other people like that. I don't care if you call in this show and want to disagree with me. In fact, it makes the show a heck of a lot more interesting. Mm-hmm. I love it when people call in. You know, what's his name that calls in and says he agrees with me 97% of the time? But the only thing he doesn't agree with me on is Trump.
Yep.
I'm like, that's only 3%. What else do we talk about so much that you agree with so much? Eddie, I respect your opinion. I expect your right to have an opinion. But if you hate the way Trump speaks, don't spread it. Don't be like him. If that's what you hate, because listen, I've criticized him for that before. Thanks for calling the show. Keep listening and call again and we can maybe show each other a little bit more respect. We're going to be back with Roddy Davis in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Rodney, great to have you on the show today. Appreciate you giving us some time.
Oh, Annie, thanks for having me on. Yeah, we just got off the floor, and where there was a great tribute by our both leaders in Congress, Mr. McCarthy and Speaker Pelosi, and also Steny Hoyer, to honor Elijah. And just tragic. Great guy. He's going to be missed. He was an institution in this institution.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's definitely something that can kind of ground everybody when they're trying to go in and out of the daily politics that take place in the Capitol Hill every day to remember what the most important things are in life. If you have a friend, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. You can still have these good, positive relationships with one another. And I'm sure that he'll be missed.
You know, he will be. And, you know, he fought for his principles. He fought for what he believed in, just like we do. But in the end, what Elijah Cummings did and what everybody's talking about is after you were done debating, after you debated your principled stances, you took a vote, then he became your friend because he could respect differing opinions. And you weren't going to change him on certain things. We're not going to change us. But the overwhelming majority of what we legislate, we can find some common ground. And he was a guy who was able to do that on a regular basis. And unfortunately, you know, we lost him today. And I certainly hope whomever replaces him will be the same type of a member of Congress.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing to stop and take a moment to recognize. So we appreciate you coming on here today to talk about that. We're speaking with Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis. Lots of news has happened since this morning. First, I want to ask you about the announcement from the vice president in Turkey about the ceasefire that has been negotiated with the Trump administration. Your reaction to the news that the president has negotiated this with Erdogan and been able to effect at least a ceasefire now, a relocation of the YPG folks that are over there. What do you think about that announcement today?
Well, any progress is good progress. You know, I was not ecstatic about the initial decision. I thought it was a mistake. I'm just glad that the administration, especially Vice President Pence now and Secretary of State Pompeo, are over there directly talking to President Erdogan. I don't trust the Turks. I don't trust President Erdogan. And if ceasefire doesn't hold, we need to begin to discuss whether or not Turkey's actually eligible to remain a NATO ally.
Well, we'll continue to watch. Is a temporary ceasefire? And the president said from Fort Worth today on the tarmac that he expects this to last significantly longer. So it'll be interesting to see how this situation continues to develop. I want to ask you a little bit. I don't know how much you've been able to follow the Mick Mulvaney comments that happened earlier today. There's certainly some development suggesting that he admitted to a quid pro quo on the White House behalf with the Ukrainian conversation that was taking place. The impeachment trial is significantly important to certainly the news media, certainly to the House Democrats. I want to ask you, being in the House right now and viewing things from a very up close and personal position, Nancy Pelosi storms out of a meeting yesterday. Donald Trump says that he's praying for her. She says she's praying for him. All of these implications without any video to show us what actually happened. The state of affairs for American taxpayers, citizens watching all of this happening is very dismal. Is there any way that this is going to end in anything other than a pro-impeachment vote in the House or where we see this president ultimately impeached?
Oh, absolutely. You're going to see him impeached. I mean, I've said it on your show months ago, that the Democrats are not going to be able to hold off the far left. Speaker Pelosi did not have to call this an impeachment inquiry. She did it on purpose to try and placate the far left, but now it's gotten away from her. She could have said, we're just going to have more oversight, because frankly, that's what they're doing. They're not following proper precedent from impeachments of the past to have an actual vote on the House floor, give the president a chance to have his attorneys in the room to depose witnesses, just like this one-sided secret inquiry is going now. That's why the Democrats, they don't want to put it out in public. They don't want to talk about following precedents that have been set before, because this is a partisan attack. And that's what it's going to remain as long as they continue to move down this pathway. But as you look ahead with impeachment, it's going to happen. It doesn't have to. Mm. We ought to be able to come together. We ought to be able to get things done. And if we impeach, if the House votes to impeach, we'll get none of the things done that are important to your listeners. No infrastructure, no prescription drug price issues are going to be addressed. We're not going to get the USMCA. This is a big deal. And I think the American people need to really take a look and ask themselves, do we need a partisan litmus test on due process? Because that's basically what the Democrats are trying to do by impeaching the president and denying him due process right now.
We're speaking with Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis, Illinois' 13th district. You have a more purple district in the state of Illinois, not a super strong, very conservative district. When you talk to people who are your constituents and, you know, love or hate the president, I think that the fact that they are progressing towards the impeachment, which is something they've set out to do from day one, for at least for certain Democrats that are in the House, it's always been the end goal. The question was, you know, which road do you take to get there? Do your constituents want to see this president impeached, or even some of the people who are on the opposite side of the aisle of you, do they have an issue with the way the House is going about this process?
Well, I think people are in party lines right now. Those who live and breathe and look at politics and what's happening in Washington as somewhat of their religion, they're already set in what they want and what they don't want. And it's on the far right and the far left. Look, to some in my party, Donald Trump, President Trump can do no wrong. I've kind of had to chuckle getting military advice from people who will believe that anything that the president does, any decision, is going to be the utmost truth and basically should be taken like it's come down from Mount Sinai on the 11th through 15th commandments.
Yeah.
And conversely, Democrats on the far end of the spectrum will take whatever any of their presidential candidates say the exact same way. But the majority of people that live in my district and live in this country, they don't live, eat, and breathe what we talk about. They just want to have a good job. They want to be able to go get a better job in an economy that has 3.5% unemployment. They want to take their kids to their sporting events, and they want to go home knowing that their country's safe. That's what they want. And this impeachment issue, I think, is going to actually bring them and rise their frustration up a lot more than what they are now. And I think you'll continue to see that in polling as this process continues to move forward by the Democrats in the House.
Yeah, you know, I look at the way this process is being covered, and I feel as though all that is at stake here is a political ramification for one party or the other. When you look at this march towards impeachment, it's, you know, parallel with a march towards a 2020 presidential election, which will include your potential reelection in 2020. Mm-hmm. How do you think that voters are going to be reacting to this as this process continues to unfold?
Well, obviously, I've seen no evidence for impeachment. So if they're going to impeach without due process, I think the American people are going to see through that. That's funny that we Republicans also supported the Mueller investigation. And we were told all the time the president's going to fire Robert Mueller, and he had no intention of doing that. He clearly, as a new president, I'd be frustrated too if I found out that the last administration used a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, something created for terrorism, to spy on people who were on your campaign. That's something that should still be addressed. I can't wait to see the IG report when that comes out. But in the end, I think the American people are going to see through this charade, which is nothing but partisan politics. And really, even if you're a Democrat and a Republican, if you care about this country, the last thing we need to do, Andy, is set a new precedent that we're going to have partisan impeachments of every president that gets elected that's not our party or theirs.
Hmm. Yeah, that's going to destroy the entire process. That's going to bring everything to a screeching halt. You mentioned the IG report. We're speaking with Congressman Rodney Davis right now of Illinois' 13th District. There was a rumor that it was going to be out tomorrow, but it seems as though we haven't heard that as much lately. Do you have any anticipation, expectation on when we might have that by?
No, I'll probably run into a couple of my colleagues that are a little more dialed in on that process, being on the committees of jurisdiction, and I'll ask them. But I just want the truth. You know, I'm not going to believe what we hear a report will say until the report actually comes out. So I want to hear the truth, because the processes that we vote to reauthorize on a regular basis, like the FISA program, I need to be comfortable as an American citizen that our government's working in the right way to ensure that those laws that were created to protect us against terrorism are used against terrorists and not used to spy on your opponent's political campaigns.
Yeah, certainly. Congressman Davis, one last question for you. I know that you, like me, have had a bit of an evolution on how Trump fits into, you know, earning your support, and the way he came on the scene for the entire country was very brash and up in your face, and it was like nothing we had ever seen before at that level in politics. But he has had some significant successes in his time in the Oval Office. How would you say that your support for the president has evolved from day one to October 17th, 2019?
Look, I am extremely supportive of the president and his policies. I frankly got a chance to meet him. You know, I never had a chance to meet the president before I got a chance to serve with him as president. He cares about this country. He wants to get things done. I've been in rooms across the table, next to him at the table, where he's trying to find a solution. And we've got great successes to talk about. We've lowered taxes on the middle class, and frankly, they have more money in their pockets at a time where we have historic low unemployment and 500,000 plus manufacturing jobs open in this country. That's what he promised. That's what he delivered. And I got to tell you, the guy is hilarious. I was at the St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup presentation at the White House.
Yeah.
He had those kids, and they're all kids that are on the Blues. It's amazing to see how young they are when they don't have their equipment on.
Mm-hmm.
But he had them cracking up. That's the Donald Trump I know. That's the Donald Trump that I know that cares about America. He may not have the same governing style as anybody before him, and that's what the American people chose, and that's who we need to get behind to make sure that he's able to continue to do that in the future.
Well, Congressman Davis, it's great to have you on today. We're with you as you mourn your friend, Representative Elijah Cummings, who passed away at 68 years old, and grateful to have you be able to come on here and recognize him and talk about some of these important issues.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Yep, we'll see you soon. That's Congressman Rodney Davis, Illinois' 13th District. Happens to be my district as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.